instructors and I'm instructors to the Prabhupada. This girl and I'm instructors and I'm to the Prabhupada.
The system we're going to use.
There are four parts, really. And we have about 4 hours or something like that. So that means that I'm assuming we'll have 3 or 4 sessions of roughly an hour each, and then we'll have a little break every hour, something like this, for a little hour and hour. What's that? Reading and recitation. Anyway, we'll have a little break every hour, and then we won't just go 4 hours straight. We don't want anyone expiring in the course of the event. Yeah, so like that, we will have 3 or 4 sessions of roughly an hour. And the first session right now is going to be, the focus will be band association, actually. We thought that before we get into the good association, we should get into a bit of, not get into, but clarify some things about band association. And then it'll help us to appreciate the good association as we get into that as time goes on. So first of all, there will be some discussion about getting bad association. Then there will be a discussion about giving bad association. Then third will be focusing on getting good association. Getting good association. And the final session will be about giving good association. So this is the basic pattern of our seminar today. And so first of all we'll have a little introduction, general introduction, and then go into the perils of bad association, particularly getting bad association. So association is not just one of the many elements of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in one sense, we could see it like that, that in Krishna consciousness there are many things, like there's kirtan, there's hearing the books, there's doing different types of service, and then there's associating, like association is one of many different elements or facets of Krishna consciousness. But we would like to encourage you to see association in a deeper sense or broader sense, say. Just a moment. Is this working, the speaker? It is working. Right. A broader sense of the part, well, not just the part that association plays.
Sorry,
Ryan,
it
seems
like it's not working.
Oh, it's not working. This time, yes, I know this one is working. But yeah, it seems that this one is somehow not working. Right. So let me just touch on that. The broad sphere of influence of association in the world of Krishna consciousness in general. Just consider these points. Well, we mentioned, just as we were about to begin the kirtan, we mentioned that it was going to be a form of association, good association in this case, in that we are going to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this sound form. So you see, kirtan, when you really get down to it, kirtan ultimately means a form of association. That's why kirtan is so important, not because it's just a nice song, which we like to hear with a nice tune and something like that. But why is kirtan so important and powerful and wonderful? Because Krishna is there. dancing on your tongue and dancing in through your ears and then dancing in the courtyard of your heart. This is why kirtan is what it is. So it's association, in other words. And they say, like reading Prabhupada's books, we encourage that so much that every serious devotee should read Prabhupada's books, preferably every day for half an hour or something like that, or more. So what does that mean? It also means association. That Krishna is personally present in Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada is personally present. It is purpose. We've all heard of Vaku and Vani, I think. Vaku means the Lord, or the great devotees, these great personalities in their physically observable forms. That's Vaku. Whereas Vani means the Lord, or the great devotees, in their forms of sound vibration. This is Vani. So Srila Prabhupada wrote the second of his pranam mantras, which we chant every day, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pastyacha Dejatarane. Srila Prabhupada composed that prayer to himself, but he composed it himself because there was no one else who was able to do it. And in that prayer, Srila Prabhupada wanted to point out what he understood to be his main contribution. And what was that? Gauravani Pracharane. Gauravani, the message of Gaura, Lord Chaitanya. But not just the message, that the Lord was personally present there. This is Vani. And even Prabhupada, we see there's a purport somewhere in the earlier parts of the Bhagavatam. It's a place where Narada Muni is instructing someone in Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the purport, Srimad Prabhupada says that we would like to thank Narada Muni for appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's not just being facetious or, you know, a joker, cheeky or something. But he's sincerely expressing that he wants to thank Narada Muni for actually being there. So therefore we said in the holy names, in our kirtan, when we're chanting our japa, why is it important? Why do we do it? Why is it able to help us? Because the Lord is present. And we get his association. And that association rubs off on us. And in this way we become happy. And our minds become cleared. And we become purified through associating with the Lord. Because he is pure. So we become pure, at least more pure, by his association. And reading exactly the same principle. And when we do any service that we do, cleaning the floor, cooking, managing, driving for Krishna, organizing, whatever it may be, so many services are there. Krishna is there within the service. Yes. He is personally present within the activities of devotional service. So why is it that devotional service is so nice to do? You know, you may have heard me describe, and I'm sure many of you have, how when I was a young man, I became so frustrated with material existence that I decided, particularly working, I decided never to work again at the ripe old age of 21. I retired. actually, I think it was even when I was 20. I retired. And then later that year, it was December 1972 finally, I ended up in London visiting our temple in central London. And on the first or second day that I was visiting the temple, the devotees asked me, would you mind doing something to help some servants? So my initial thought was, this is a little strange, I'm a guest. I just arrived here and now they're trying to make me work. But then I agreed, and they gave me a cloth and a bucket and told me to clean the bathroom and the toilet. That was my introduction to devotional service. And initially I thought, well, I've never done that in my life. So initially I thought, what? Then somehow, I'm sort of an easygoing person, I thought, okay. So I started cleaning the bathroom first of all. And within not 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, I was feeling quite exhilarated. That, wow, this is nice. Hey, I'm having fun. And I thought, wow, that's surprising. I thought I didn't like working, but here I'm liking this work. So then I thought, even though I knew nothing about Krishna consciousness, my thought was that I'm not going to work again, like at a job, but working for Krishna seems nice. So maybe I'll work for Krishna. Yeah. So why was it so nice? Why is any service nice if we apply ourselves? Because Krishna is there. And we contact him when we are doing the service. So it's association again. So you get the idea. You know, this principle of association is practically all-pervading, actually. Yeah. When you worship the deity, any deity worship is also association. Even taking prasadam. Why is prasadam so nice? Because Krishna is there within it. So, like this, you can look practically at the whole realm of activities, everything we do in Krishna consciousness, and you'll find that association is practically at least a thread which is running through practically everything. Right, so that's the first point I want to make. Now, here today, we're going to focus mainly on interpersonal association, but we'll touch on some other things too, connected, which may not be directly interpersonal like that. So getting in giving, good association. You know, obviously before you can give, you have to get. If you don't have any of a certain thing, you can't give it. But when you get some of anything, be it money, food, information, or whatever, when you get it, then you can give it. So we're going to start by talking about getting, before we talk about giving. And I wanted to, just in the light of what I just said about, you know, like the universality of this principle of association, I wanted to touch on something from the 11th canto of the Bhagavata, which is spoken by Lord Krishna himself to Uddhava. It's part of the Uddhava Gita. There's Bhagavad Gita. Then another step up is the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. It is Krishna instructing again directly, this time to Uddhava. So Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava that he's talking about association. And he says that a person can change their position. Position means like their personal situation internally, the type of person they are, depending on that they can change their position, change their natures in terms of the modes by adjusting certain elements which can be understood in terms of association. So, Krishna says, he gives about 10 or 11 things which you can adjust, which involve association. And if you adjust them properly, you will improve your condition. But if you adjust them improperly, you'll make your position worse. So, the first thing he says is the type of people you associate with. You can change the type of people you associate with, and that will change you. Then you can change the type of work you do. Work is also a type of association. You know, some devotees do these jobs which are like, you know, they're practically masochistic or sadistic, isn't it? They just work too hard, these crazy jobs. And being in that environment with those people doing those things, it hurts the devotees. Other devotees have more laid-back situations. So Krishna says, depending on the type of work you do and the association it gives you, then your nature will change. The types of books you read, the types of food you eat, the types of mantras you chant, these are all forms of association. The type of place you live in, like if you associate with dirt, in other words, if you're the type of person who doesn't mind living in a dirty place, this is also a type of association, isn't it? Associating with dirt. You may have heard us say before that if in one place there is a Brahmin and there is dirt in one place, then either the Brahmin will go or the dirt will go. But if they don't, if they coexist, then the Brahman has ceased to be a Brahman by association with the dirt. In other words, the dirt won. Yeah. So this is association. How you choose to live. Whether you choose to live in a clean environment or it's a sort of anything goes, we'll clean up once a week type of program. You know? You know what I mean? It's association. So my point here, and I'm making this point again in general, how important association is in many ways. Don't underestimate it. And even there, in that Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Mad Bhakta Pujayadika, which means of all the activities of devotional service, the worship of my devotees, the association of my devotees is the most important. Krishna says, even more important than worshipping me. And Jiva Goswami gives a comment that serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. Yeah. Worshipping the devotees and serving the devotees, which is all association, how you associate, is a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. Yes, so here we are, you know, this is the tip of an iceberg. It's a big iceberg, very big subject. And our idea is to try and go into it in different aspects over the next few hours. So as we said, first thing we'll go into, specific thing we'll go into, is a little bit about bad association, and specifically getting. You cannot really give bad association until you've got some, until you've already had some. Of course, we've been in material life long enough, we had enough bad association, so we're pretty qualified when it comes to giving bad association. But Lord Chaitanya, can you read what's on the board here? Lord Chaitanya, in the Majjhavila, he spoke one verse. He was asked, actually, by some devotees, how can you recognize a devotee? What are the characteristics of a devotee? And Lord Chaitanya said, Asat Sangatyaga E Vaishnav Acha Stri Sangi Eka Asadu Krishna Avakta A. This is Lord Chaitanya's fundamental answer to the question, how can you tell who's a devotee? Is he a devotee? Is he a devotee? Is she a devotee? How can you tell? Step number one. Asat Sangha Tyaga. That a Vaishnava is a person who rejects. Asat Sangha Tyaga. Tyaga means to renounce. This is a fundamental characteristic of someone who's really a devotee. You know, there may be a sort of marginal condition where someone is, you know, not like a full-scale materialist, but certainly not really serious about Krishna consciousness yet. So that's another thing. This is now how to recognize who is really a Vaishnava, who is serious about Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya, his response was, Asat Sangha Tyaga, a Vaishnava Chaya. This is the activity of a Vaishnava, a devotee, that you'll see they reject materialistic association. They do not accept it. So, you know, the point is, or a very important point is, that we are very sensitive. We are very sensitive to association. Even Prabhupada discussed this in terms of just different types of sound. If, for example, someone glorifies you, like if someone glorifies Arjuna Ram Kumar, there he is. He's already smiling. Just, I don't know if it happens often. That is such a nice, very nice one. I see he's keeping a straight face. But we are very sensitive. If someone praises us, you know, they say, there's a saying, flattery will get you nowhere. But you must know that it is not true. It is really not true. It will not always get you where you want. And if you get into it too heavily. But some skillful flattery will get you a long way, actually. Yeah. Yeah, so this is association, sound vibration. On the other hand, if someone chastises you, you know, even say you're one of these managers in one of our temples, I don't want to mention any names, but you're a little sort of, you know, on the strong side. Not so diplomatic, but you more just tell people. Then someone may get frustrated with you and tell you that you're a dictator, you're just like Adolf Hitler. So this is going way out. There's no doubt you're not like Adolf Hitler. So it may be so way out. Anyone who hears it will think, this is crazy. Don't take any notice of this. But still you may feel hurt if it's aimed at you. So we're very sensitive. We respond very well to pleasant words about us. We respond very badly to unpleasant words about us. And even like the quality of sound, Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavatam, living in the city, there are all the car noises and people noises and these noises. If you're living in the middle of the city, and it disturbs the system. But if you're living by a river, the sound of moving water pacifies. So then you become peaceful and more placid. Yeah. So we are very sensitive. This is the point here. We're very sensitive. Even one devotee put it quite nicely that the tongue is a very powerful weapon and the ear is a very easy target. The tongue as the weapon does not even need to aim. But just by being in range, the tongue will find the target. Is it? I don't know if you've ever heard people talking about you, you know, just like in the next room, and they don't know you're there, but you're hearing. You may have just walked in just doing something else, but then you hear your name. And their tongues got the target, directed it, but they were not even trying to aim. So we are very, very sensitive. The ear, the heart, is a very sensitive target. And the tongue is a very incredible weapon. Just has to be in range, that's all. You don't even need to aim. What to speak of if you do aim. And it affects. You know, this is explained, it's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion. He gives a quote from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, that a person, one very important but unusual person, says to his son that the soul is like crystal. You hold it up to light and it immediately refracts the light straight through. Straight through. The soul is like crystal. Therefore this person is warning, be careful who you associate with, because it will affect you. You will reflect it just like that. And you know who that was speaking? Hiranyakashipu. Addressing Prahlad. Beware of the Vaishnavas. They're very dangerous people. Right, so we are very sensitive to whatever association we get. You know, some of our Rusinga, couple of minutes, is that okay? Some of our devotees some years ago were associating with a Gaudiya Vaishnav who is not a member of ISKCON and who's kind of in a somewhat different space, really. Although he's also a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but he's got some other ideas. So we were speaking to these devotees and saying, look, you know, would Prabhupada want you to associate with this person? And they were saying, well, he knows a lot, and, you know, we're learning, getting a lot of information. And we said, but he's got other ideas. They're mixed in. He may have some interesting information, but he's got some, like, contradictory ideas mixed in. Isn't it dangerous? And the devotee said, no, no. They said, we have our filters in. You know, we filter out the contradictions. Well, you know, unfortunately, eventually they sort of succumbed to it all, and they started going off in a different direction in their Krishna consciousness. Eventually they came back, but one of those devotees who was there, and we were having this discussion with him, said that, I think someone pulled the filters out. In other words, you know, don't be too optimistic about, I can get bad association and I'll handle it. I won't be affected. Don't be too optimistic about yourself, because association is very powerful. And it is practically unavoidable that one will be affected. So now, you see another Prabhu? Are you ready? You're ready. So we have, Nishinyananda Prabhu has a little presentation here just to illustrate this principle. Please be attentive to him.
Just take 2 minutes to set up.
Oh, okay. 2 minutes to set up. Okay. Yes, we're going to have a little drama. A great spectacular drama with a cast of thousands. Oh, I see. That was what you were doing. Can you read this? What's in the red? It says, red zone. Should I move?
I'm not going to pick yes. Okay.
Such a busy schedule, we have to have preparation, and many of the devotees they are busy with different preparations, and we don't know who's going to be here. And normally, the actors that we get, some of them enthusiastic, some of them, you know, they're reluctant. And all the diaspora preparations of different festivities, we try our best to get these plays together. So please excuse any shortcomings that you may see. Many of these actors, we put them on the spot last minute because we couldn't find all the actors. Some of them said, no, we're not coming. So please understand this. Some of them are first time here. They see the script the first time. But the main thing is to get the message across in terms of association. Okay? And I'm sure the plays will be able to project that very clearly. Okay, you ready?
Maybe I'm in the wrong business. Sundry is collecting more money than you. After staying out, both they begged for donations to Brahman returning home. He completed cleaning duties and began to read Bhagavad Gita. Sundari had just woken up and was ready to begin her duties.
The name of Vishnu Buddha.
going to take Sukhmani, see, he's a missionary. He's going to take Sundari, the prostitute, back home, back to Godhead. Because the Brahman, even though on the surface, like mechanically, he was worshipping the deity and doing his different political activities, but his consciousness was fixed on this woman and her, all her activities of being a prostitute and so on. So when the time of death came very abruptly, then he was thinking of the prostitute. But she, even though due to circumstances, she was forced to engage in that sort of way of life, but in her heart, she was deeply regretting and praying to the Lord, please give me some opportunity to get out of this and to really serve you and improve myself. So when the time of death came, she was fixed in that sort of consciousness, praying to the Lord, really taking shelter of the Lord. So our first class Vishnu Dutta took her all the way back home, back to Godhead. So that's the moral of the story. And as we said, that the mind, or we, our consciousness, we are very sensitive. We're very sensitive. And if we become attached to certain things, then, well, it can get pretty bad, pretty quick. Like Bharat Maharaj. I think you've all heard of Bharat Maharaj. He was a very great devotee in many ways. Actually, he was an extremely advanced devotee, but he got some bad association. He got the association of a deer. You know, not the deer are bad, but this is just some ordinary creature in the material world. He became very attached. Actually, Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandhava that when Bharat Maharaj left home, he made a mistake. He went on his own and established his own little ashram in some nice secluded place by a river. All very nice, but he was on his own. He avoided going and joining some other devotees. So when the deer came along, if he'd been with a whole lot of other devotees, and the deer came along, they would have told him, no, just leave the deer, or, you know, don't make such a big thing of the deer. He would have been protected by their association. But because we are very sensitive when it comes to association, and because he was not protected, he was just on his own. So he fell in. So like this, getting bad association. So now I'm going to give some examples of bad association and the effects it had on some, you know, in some cases, some very special people. Like, have you heard of Narakasura? You heard of Narakasura? He's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, he's fairly well known. Krishna killed him on Diwali day. Generally, you know, Hindu people, they're aware that on Diwali day, Krishna killed Narakasura. But do you know who Narakasura is? He is the son of Lord Varaha and Mother Earth. When Lord Varaha saved the Earth planet, being fallen in the Gandhara Ocean. So they produced Bhumi. Actually, Bhumi, Mother Earth, is the eternal consort of Lord Varaha. Bhumi is an expansion of Radharani via Satyabhama.
So Mother Earth is not just, you know, another demigoddess. She's a very important person, actually. Direct expansion of Satyabhama. So, Bhumi is the eternal consort of Varaha. They produced a child. And, you know, this is the child of God. If anyone should be a good devotee, it should be the children of the Supreme Lord. But he got some bad association. He got into the association of Banasura. Banasura is also described in the 10th canto, and he became a demon. To the point that when Krishna was present, he had to kill him. He had to kill his own son. His own son. And it's very interesting that when he took, in fact, the description is there in the purports. If you read the later parts of the 10th canto, that when Krishna went to kill Narakasura, I think it's about chapter 67 or so of the 10th canto, he took Satyabhama with him. And finally, when he was just ready to kill Narakasura, Satyabhama told Krishna, kill him now. And Krishna killed him. So there's an explanation there. It's based on Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, that because Bhumi is expanded from Satyabhama, but Bhumi was not available, that when Krishna went to kill Narakasura, he took Satyabhama, who Bhumi, the mother, is expanded from. So like there's no difference in a sense between the two. And before he killed Narakasura, he took her permission. But now I'm going to kill your son. But I'll only kill your son if you give permission. And Satyabhama said, all right, now, you kill him. Yeah. So, yes. Even Advaita Acharya, he is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had six sons. Three were great devotees. Three became demons. Yeah. Like heavy Mayavadis. Heavy, aggressive Mayavadis. What about Srila Prabhupada? He had some children. Some of them are quite nice devotees. One of them became a demon. A demon. Real demon, and tried to take control of ISKCON after Prabhupada left this world. And it took about 10 years, at least 10 years in court, to get him off our back. And he met one of our devotees once, and he said that you, this was an American devotee, he said, this is Prabhupada's son, said, well, in the fourth canto, there's the story of King Vena, who was the son of who? Nabi, I think. Nabi. Nabi was a great devotee. His son Vena was a horrible demon. Then, of course, Hiranyakashipu was a great devotee, and a great demon. But Prahlad was a great devotee. So this son of Prabhupada, who was really a demon, met one of our devotees one day. And he said, you know what? He said, you are like Prahlad, and your father is like Hiranyakashipu. He said, but me, my father, that's Prabhupada, he was like Nabi, and I'm like Vena. Yeah. So, through bad association, you've heard of Aristasura. Aristasura is described in the 10th canto. He was a demon in the form of a bull. So it's described that in Garga Samhita, that in his previous life, he was a devotee, but he had difficulty sitting cross-legged. So when there was a satsang or some class or something, he would sit, but with his feet out like this. And Brihaspati, his guru, told him that, "You fool, you sit like a bull sits, you become bull." So it's described, Sanatana Goswami describes that Aristasura, the human from the previous life, his name was Vanatantu. He was born as a bull in East Bengal, but a very nice bull. Unfortunately, he got into the association of some demoniac bulls, and he became a demon, Aristasura. Bharat Maharaj, we mentioned. What about Dwivida the gorilla? He's also described in the 10th canto. He was killed by Balaram. So, now, in Ramayana, you will find the prayers of Dwivida. At the time of Ram, Dwivida was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And in Ramayana, there are these prayers. And they, even today, they're chanted, you know, by the strict followers, like Ram Vaishnavas. They don't chant Hanuman Chalisa, but they do chant the prayers of Dwivida. But unfortunately, Dwivida, somehow, he became envious of Lakshman. He became envious of Lakshman, and he offended Lakshman. So then he became a demon, Dwivida. The same, he lived on. He lived on until Krishna and Balaram appeared. But in the meantime, he became a demon. And then he tried to kill Balaram, who was Lakshman. But Balaram killed him. So, bad association, offending, you know, being bad association, getting bad association, is very dangerous. Now, we'll say a few words about giving bad association. And, well, actually, no. You know what we'll do? I think we will just take a little break now, and we will begin with the discussion, a short discussion, on giving bad association. Okay? So we'll take 5 minutes according to this clock. This is Marlborough time. We're slightly to the east, so the time is slightly different, you see. But according to this clock, we should all gather back here about 11:30, 11, latest 11:35. Is that okay? So you can take a break now. Srila Prabhupada ki. Different personalities who got good association in different ways. And we gave the example of Kalida. And we gave the example of Kalidas and all these various examples that Krishna gives in the 11th canto. Now, another very prominent case of someone who got good association and as a result really advanced tremendously and was elevated from, you know, sort of like Krishna conscious, not being anywhere really in Krishna consciousness, right up to the highest levels due to getting very good association. One very important example of that, discussed at length in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, is Narada Muni. So we are going to hand over to our dramatic team here to reenact and illustrate the enlightenment of Narada Muni through good association. You want a microphone? Thank you. page.
He could also see that the faithless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. He saw the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupation could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four, in order to expand them among men and be assimilated by the less intelligent men. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it was wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled the great historical narration called Mahabharata for women, laborers, friends of the twice born. Although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people, still his mind was not satisfied. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, I have under strict disciplinary vows unpretentiously worship the Vedas, the spiritual master and the altar. I have also abided by the rulings and have shown the import of the cyclic succession. Though the explanation of the Mahabharata, through the explanation of the Mahabharata, by which even women, sudras and others, tread of the twice born, can see the path of religion, I am feeling incomplete. Although I myself am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas, this may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear both to the perfect beings and to infallible Lord. Narada reached the cottage of Krishna Dwapara Vyas. On the bank of the Saraswati, just as Vyasadeva was regretting his defects. On the auspicious arrival of Sri Narada, Sri Vyasadeva got up respectfully and worshipped him, giving veneration equal to that given to Brahmaji, the creator. Thus, the sage among the demigods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed Sri Rishi amongst the Brahmanas, Vyasadeva, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or mind as objects of self-realization? Your inquiries were full and your studies were also well fulfilled. There is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. You have fully delineated the subject of in-person Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? Sri Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified.
I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being the offspring of Brahma, who is self-born without mundane father and mother. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy transcendental sense of the Lord is considered worthless. Although a great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances. You have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by sinful persons to be unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Tatva visargo janatava vipravo yasmin pratislokam abhadyavadyapi namanyadasya shonikantiyat shenvanti gayanti grinati sadva. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc. of this unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of the transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's most directed civilization. Thus, such transcendental literature, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. O Vyasadeva, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can take the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all the material bondage. Whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is very condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion, and they will hardly care for prohibitions. Your goodness has perfect vision. You yourself can know the super soul personality of Godhead, because you are present as the plenary portion of the Lord. Although you are goodness, you have appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. Please, therefore, describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant. I was engaged in the service of Brahmanas, who follows the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled. I had no attachments for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty. And I did not speak more than required. I was attentive in the details of serving these great devotees of the Lord.
No.
They relished eating the prasadam. Only once, by their permission, I took the remnants of the
food.
And by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus, being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of transcendentalists became attracted to me. In that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantas, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus, listening attentively, my taste for the hearing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead increased at every step.
I can't waste time playing sports. I want to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam and explain the glories of Sri Krishna and the material world.
Oh great sage, as soon as I got taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching. And as my taste developed, I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I had accepted gross and subtle coverings, for both the Lord and I are transcendental. Thus, during the two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. As they were leaving, one day, those Bhaktivedantas, who were very kind to the poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Shri Krishna, the creator, maintainer and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities, which we have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men, and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of the common people, who are always suffering from the material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. Shri Narad Muni ki
jai.
Let's hear another round of applause for the actors. Thank you, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Incidentally, don't think too badly of Ramachandra Puri, because in Krishna Leela, in Vrindavan Leela, he is Jatila. So he's a devotee. Right, so getting association. We're talking about getting association. We'll go on to giving association in a minute. But I wanted to mention something very briefly about our propensity to sort of minimize and underestimate people, even devotees. We are, like I said, characteristic of the, well, the Bhagavatam says, characteristic of the Kanishtas, is they cannot recognize who is what, and therefore they do not know who to get association from or give it to, or like this. This whole subject of association is a big mystery for the Kanishtas, but for the Madhyams it becomes much easier. So, and you know, in our inability to really understand what levels people were on and how to act appropriately with different people, our propensity due to our conditioned natures is we are prone to underestimate others, perhaps more than we are to overestimate. We're quite good at overestimating ourselves and seeing our many good qualities. In fact, some people become so expert at seeing their own good qualities that they can even see good qualities they don't have. This is a very advanced stage. But then on the other hand, we're prone to underestimate others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he talks about four reasons why we may underestimate devotees, or four things about those devotees which may lead us to underestimate them and blaspheme them even ultimately, but at least underestimate them and in that way not really deal with them, not really get their association in the best ways or give our association appropriately. So we may misunderstand the nature, the level of a devotee and who the devotee is, what the devotee is. If there are some traces in the devotee of some things left over from his previous sins, the devotee may have done some bad things in the past, and there may be some traces of that in the devotee's character. Like I mentioned yesterday, actually, those of you who are there at Bhakti Churu Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, how he, not that he really did this, but it was just a very interesting experience for him. when he came into Prabhupada's entourage, he was thrown right into the middle of this whole situation with a number of very senior devotees, like Tamal Krishna Goswami and others, but who had rather unusual personalities. Like Tamal Krishna Goswami, he had a very dominating type of personality. He was a take-charge person. No one would take charge of him. He would take charge. Even he would take charge of Prabhupada sometimes. So when Bhakti Chirumaraj saw this, he couldn't believe it. You know, how is this devotee speaking so strongly to the other devotees and sometimes telling Prabhupada what to do? So, you know, actually Tamal Krishna Goswami was a very transcendental personality and was not really doing anything wrong. But this sort of heaviness and very, you know, strong mood and even demanding type of mood is something, in a sense, from conditioning. But now it's being engaged in Krishna's service. Yeah, I remember once I was serving prasadam to Tamal Krishna Goswami and some others, Adi Keshava, Guru Kripa. These were very prominent devotees at the time. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj ordered me. He said, "Hey! Hey! Adi Keshava wants another chapati. And get me one too while you're at it." I'll never forget that. It was quite something. So there may be traces from the person's previous nature. Now they're being engaged in the Lord's service. So the devotee may be very strong. And if we are very quiet, there may be a conflict of natures in that way. And we may find it, and we may think, oh, he's just heavy, like nasty heavy. But actually he's a Vaishnava. So this is one thing when it comes to getting and giving association we have to be careful about. Not being too judgmental to devotees, in terms of traces of their previous sinful activities or just their conditioning from before they were devotees. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if we criticize a devotee because of his or her birth, they're born in a low family, then this is also very offensive. If we criticize a devotee or underestimate a devotee because of some unpremeditated, accidental fall down or difficulty they get into, or some momentary lapse, this is also offensive. And if we underestimate a devotee because of their sinful activities prior to their becoming a devotee, as opposed to just their conditioned nature, but some particular sinful activities like drug taking, illicit sex, meat eating, things like this. You know, so many of our most senior devotees in the past, they were doing these things. Some or even all of them. So, there are a few quotes here that Jiva Goswami gives. Just to round, this is to round off the idea of getting the association of the devotees. "To gain Lord Vishnu's mercy, one should first please the Vaishnavas. When the Vaishnavas are pleased, then Lord Vishnu is merciful. Of this there is no doubt." Then Jiva Goswami himself says, "The opposite of this is described in Padma Purana as follows." This is the verse. A person who worships Lord Govinda but does not worship the Lord's devotees is not himself a devotee. He is only a pretender. O best of the Brahmins, when he is remembered, spoken to, or worshipped, a Vaishnav, even if born in a family of dog-eaters, brings great purification. Then Jiva Goswami says, if one sees a Vaishnav in any other way, one commits a great offense. And he quotes one of the Vedic literatures. One who thinks that because of his birth, a Vaishnav is a low-class Sudra or dog-eater. One who thinks like this goes to hell for a long time. Now we're going to move on to giving good association. Giving good association. This is the last part of our seminar. And, well, there are a few verses that I want to quote, but first of all, I thought a nice way of bringing out this point, giving good association, how to, and the value of it, the impact of really good association. I thought one very nice way to do this is to focus just a little, maybe for 5 or 10 minutes, on one very amazing devotee of ISKCON. Unfortunately, he's not with us now, but great devotee, his name was Jayananda. And just to set the scene, first story at least about Jayananda, which maybe, I don't know how many of you are familiar with, you know, all the histories about Jayananda, but this is really a very amazing thing, which I only heard for the first time not long ago. Well, actually, I remember 1975, I was in England, and one senior devotee from the Radha Damodar party, big book distribution party, came to England to train us up in book distribution. Yogesh Chandra, he was very, very senior leader in Radha Damodar. And he was telling us about Jayananda. We'd never heard about him. And he was saying, wow, this Jayananda. He said, Tamal Krishna Goswami says, he is the most advanced devotee in ISKCON. Now this first story I'll tell though is really, it's a very amazing thing, and when I heard it, I heard a tape of it, the devotee who was telling the story, it was on one anniversary of the disappearance of Jayananda, which is the day before, I think, Lord Nrsingadev's appearance day. The devotee who was telling the story just broke down completely. Anyway, just try and listen to this and take this in terms of giving association by setting a really wonderful example. So Jayananda, he passed away, it was something in the middle of 77, just maybe 3, 4, 5 months before Prabhupada left this world. Jayananda had leukemia, which is cancer of the blood. And as happens with cancer in general, there was a period of some months where his condition just deteriorated and he became bedridden, and finally he passed away. So he was, at different times he was sometimes in hospital, sometimes in the temple, sometimes back to hospital, and so on. It was going on like that. So at one point in the later stages, you know, Jayananda, if you've seen photos of him, if you've looked carefully, you would see he's a big, strong man. like 6 feet tall at least, and strongly built fellow. But by this time, you know, he was down from maybe 95 kilos or something like that, down to maybe 60 kilos, 50 kilos, something, I don't know, but like skin and bone, basically, but still living. So the devotee went, this devotee went to visit Jayananda in the hospital, and he found Jayananda was there. If you can imagine, like, here's the table, there's, that's the bed. So there was the bed, and there was Jayananda lying on the floor. And there's this comfortable hospital bed. But Jayananda's lying on the floor, and, you know, really quite emaciated and in considerable pain constantly, with this, like, contaminated blood condition. But he was lying there, and the devotee walked in. And Jayananda sat up on the ground, and the devotee, just without thinking, sat on the bed. And Jayananda said to him, "No, please, don't sit there. Don't sit there. Sit down with me." And the devotee couldn't quite figure out why. Why should I do that? I mean, the bed's there. Hospital bed, let's use it. And then, as he was in this little confused condition and wondering, maybe he just wants me to sit close to him or something, but he noticed at the end of the bed was the pillow, or a couple of pillows. And the bed was all made up very nicely. It was unused. A couple of pillows there. And leaning against the pillows, standing against the pillows, was this framed photo of Srila Prabhupada. So Jayananda told this devotee, he said, "You know, ever since I've been a devotee all these years, I never had such a nice bed, ever. And I just thought that it would be the right thing to do to let Srila Prabhupada use it." So, you know, I mean, for anyone, I don't know how many of you are experienced with sleeping on the floor, but, you know, if you're not used to it, it's not very comfortable at all. But particularly when you're in, like, a severely diseased condition, very severely terminal condition, then, you know, it's very painful, actually. But Jayananda, he was just lying on the floor, like on a dhoti on the floor. So Prabhupada could have the nice facility. So, you know, giving, we're talking about giving association. Jayananda, I want to read a few extracts from these biographies of Jayananda, in which I'll read the parts which are explaining how he gave association sometimes. In very, like, very nice ways, but in such ways that it made impacts, real impacts. One story which I just remember offhand was the devotees in San Francisco. He was temple president in San Francisco, and they would go out on Harinam Saturday evenings. One area they would go was called Fisherman's Wharf. It is, you know, like an entertainment area down on the beachfront, basically, of San Francisco. And it's like, well, it's like a fisherman's wharf sort of set up, but with many restaurants and so on. And these people, in some of the restaurants, what they do, out front, they have big drums full of water and fish. And the people go and choose the fish. Really? I want that one. So then they somehow get that one out and kill it and cook it, and the person gets that fish. But that water, you know, it's very, really very dirty water. So the devotees would come on Harinam, and some of these people, because it was every Saturday, and these people were demons, and they didn't like the Harinam party. So what they would do sometimes is they would take buckets and things and scoop out some of this dirty water and throw it at the devotees.